Here is what it says in the book of Deuteronomy. And the Lord said to me, arise, go on your journey at the head of the people, so that they may go in and possess the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Here's a little poem somebody gave me this week. I don't always get the stuff that's new. My mom won't take me shopping. I don't know what to do. The dresses always fit me fine, but high heels give me blisters. It's not that easy growing up a boy with older sisters. May the words of my mouth and the meditation within our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Let us begin with another poem by Mary Oliver. It's called The Summer Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of all the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't exactly know what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down in the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last or too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? What are we doing anyways with our one wild and precious life? I asked myself that question a few years ago as I watched my brother and then later my sister-in-law die a very slow death. I asked myself that question recently when my best friend was diagnosed with cancer. I ask myself the same question when I look at climate change, when I look at the deep divisions in our country, and most recently when I celebrated my 73rd birthday. To live our life with our heart and our soul, we need never to lose the urgency to live. Our time here is not forever. None of us know when the end will come, regardless of how old we are. The Bible says it well. What is it the Lord requires of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? If we are to do that, there is at least one thing I think that's required. We need to find our passion. What is it we're doing now to make the world a better place? How are we giving back to God for all the ways that we have been blessed? What are we doing now to serve the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul? There was once a young man walking down a beach, and he walked there every morning. As he looked up, he saw someone in the distance. It looked like someone who was dancing, but the man got closer. He saw it was an old man who was not dancing, but was reaching down and picking up something from the beach and gently hurling it back out into the ocean. The young man said, well, good morning, sir. And then asked the old man what it was that he was doing. The old man sensed the young man was interested in talking, so he stopped what he was doing and began to share with the young man what it was. The old man said that for many years he would begin his day by coming to the beach early in the morning and walking, and over time he noticed that the nighttime had brought many things up to the beach, including starfish, who were still alive and gasping for life. So he said, I begin to throw them back into their home, into the ocean. I realized that if this was not done, the starfish would soon die. The young man listened and said, but there's miles of beach here, hundreds of starfish. You couldn't possibly make that much difference. The old man leaned down and hurled another starfish back out into the water, and he said, well, it made a difference to that one. The young man looked at the old man and said, you are the star thrower. What is it we're trying to make a difference? How is it Where is our passion? None of us can save the world. It is in our small contributions that we make the important differences in life. It is helping live what otherwise would die. That's where we find our passion. I remember when our children, we have two boys, were younger, and they each had the same nursery school teacher. She was an older woman who had been teaching for years. I don't know how many degrees she had after her name or whether she had any degrees. Perhaps she didn't. Perhaps she never went to college. I do not know if she was up to date with the latest educational theories. I do not know that this teacher, I do know that this teacher loved our kids and all the kids in her class. I could tell by the way she listened, by the way she spoke to each child. Her heart was full of love, and that was her teaching credential. And I have no doubt that each child in her class knew that they were loved by their teacher and probably never forgot that. That woman had found her passion, and she lived it. It was in her classroom with preschool children, and she was giving back to God and was making the difference that she could in her life. Each child to her was like a starfish who was looking for life and looking for a chance. Where we find our passion, we find where we are alive. It is where our religion meets the road. As I thought of people that I've known in my life who found their passion, I thought of another person. It was a man who took the tolls on the Putnam Bridge. Do you remember when there used to be tolls on the Putnam Bridge? I'm sure you do. You might remember him if you lived in this area very long. I will never forget this man. He was at one of the two or three toll booths. I live in Glastonbury, so I came across that way. When we would stop to pay the toll man, he would always say hello, and with a huge smile, would ask us how we were. He would reach in his head in the car and ask all of us how we were. Often he would have small lollipops for the kids. At Christmas time, he would always decorate his toll booth. It was not a surprise that the majority of cars were lined up to pay their toll, and everybody got in line to his booth. Okay? You see that? Even though they could have been faster going to other booths. What was it? What was it about something, a man like that? It was always worth the time to wait, though, and to go to his toll booth and just go through that whole kind of encounter with him. It would make your day no matter how stinking it was. This man had embraced his little corner of the world and was making a big difference. He had followed what the Bible says to all of us. What does the Lord require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve him, the Lord your God, with all your heart and with all your soul? A second thing we need to do is to find our passion. We need to take the first step. We might not have a lot of money. We may never get enough sleep. We may never get enough respect. We might be frightened to our bones about stepping away from the crowd. We might not know what we are doing, and yet God steps in front of us and says, today is the day to get a start, to take the first step. Faith will catch up with us later. We need to get off the road. We need to avoid procrastination. We need to turn the motor on. We need not to delay or put off. Time is running out on all of us. Our lives do not last forever. Martin Luther King Jr. said, faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. The first step is usually the hardest step, for the first step is leaving the safe port for the wild mysteries of the adventure of the unknown. Often we are hesitant to make that first move. We delay, and in delaying, life suffers. I was remembering times in our long marriage. My wife and I have been married 49 years. But in that marriage, when we've had a horrible argument, a clash of our differences, sometimes the disagreement would last for a long time. It was always difficult as strong feelings came out back and forth. Often it would seem that it would end with a deafening silence. We would not talk or even look at each other. The question became, who is going to make the first move and say, I'm sorry? That step was necessary for reconciliation. Who was going to make the first move? Who was going to say, I'm sorry? Who was going to start it up again so we could get back together? The first step was often so hard for each one of us. But eventually, one of us would take the first step, and that's exactly what was needed. The circle of marriage difficulty had been completed. Now we could clear the air. Maybe we would learn something from what had happened. Making up requires that first move. I wish somebody in leadership in our country would take a first step and say with a sincere heart to all the Native Americans, say, "We are sorry for stealing your land." When our country got started, I wish somebody in leadership in our country would take the first step to all the women in our country, to all the black people, and say, "We are sorry for the discrimination and for devaluing you." I wish somebody in leadership in our culture would take the first step and say to the earth, "We are sorry for how we have treated you." Where do you need to make that first step in your life? Where is it that you need to take the action, but you find yourself standing there, not moving forward, unable to take a risk? We live in a time when tattoos are very popular. Maybe some of us have tattoos. They are extremely popular with gang members. Gang members often outgrow their tattoos, but their tattoos remain over their arms and legs and neck, and tattoos can be messages to the mainstream in our culture that I am not one of you. In the late 1980s, Greg Boyle, a Jesuit priest, took a first step toward helping former gang members. He noticed that in his Los Angeles parish, there were many young people who had gotten caught up in gangs and now had moved on in their life. They had gotten older, but they still had the tattoos, and their tattoos were getting in the way of their lives. So he began a ministry of tattoo removal for former gang members in Los Angeles. He met a doctor who had a laser machine who offered to donate time in the parish. This had proven to be a critical service for former gang members who often had many visible tattoos that can make it very difficult to get a job. Some former gang members wanted their tattoos removed in hope of setting a good example for their children. Former gang members, Father Boyle found his passion to help these people, and he took the first step in starting a tattoo removal ministry. And now, today, there are 35 volunteer doctors and 4 laser removal machines in his parish. On the average, there are 3,000 tattoos removed every single month from the 950 people that come to his church. Ministries are discovered by finding passion and our aliveness and then taking the first step. Each of us needs to find our passion before it is too late. It is then that we will find our faith. Faith is always more than talking. In faith, we take the first step. What does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? Let us pray. Almighty God of the long adventure and the times of passion, as we find our meaning and purpose and the courage to take the first step into the mysteries of our soul, help us and guide us today and forever. Amen.